mighty God we serve. Jesus. Jesus. I said Jesus is the God we serve. Couple of Wendy's, Wednesday, couple of Wednesdays. Thank you. I taught Bible study while the pastor, Minister Pauline, and Sister Patricia were out of town. I told them that when they built this building, they built it for us.
All right.
Come on now. You gotta see the big picture. When they built this building, you and I had no idea. We weren't even around. They had no idea. But they built it for apostolic Pentecostals. Amen? And apostolic Pentecostals have come to the hill. The light has come to the hill. The light has come to the hill. Apostolics have come to the hill. They built this building for us. And not for us just to sit around and do nothing. Amen? But to get busy for God, because God is doing a quick thing in this ministry. Amen. I want to give all praise and honor to God this afternoon. Give honor to our pastor, assistant pastor, the elders, the ministers, the deacons, my lovely wife. Give honor to all the saints, visitors. I say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I just thank God for this ministry. I want to say this because it deserves to be said. This ministry, whether you realize it or not, understand it or not, believe it or not, this ministry is indeed ordained of God. Can I get a witness, somebody? Come on, talk to me. Can I get a witness? Come on, talk to me. This ministry is ordained of God. You don't get it, but hopefully you'll get it. The man of God that God has placed over us has been put here by God. I thank God for him. He's a blessing. Now he teases me, him and elderly, and they run it too, believe me. But I thank God for them because God has orchestrated all this. Look around, amen. When we was in St. John's, we used to see this on the screen. We used to watch it on the screen. Come on now, we used to look at it on the screen. Behold, we're here. We used to see it on the screen. Behold, we are here. No more looking on the screen. We're here. Hey, and I ain't seen nobody run around the church yet, but I might start running around. Thank you, Jesus. We are here. You gotta see the big picture. You gotta see the big picture. When God started dealing with me and my wife about coming to this ministry 7 years ago, somebody was putting flyers under my door. We're not gonna mention any names, but somebody was putting flyers under my door. And I said, what, Ella Camp starting a ministry? My wife and I were going to another church. And I never thought about going to an apostolic church in Albany because they're all around. But I had prayed to God that, Lord, I want to be in an apostolic church. And God, you know God answers prayer? We serve an answering prayer, God, amen? He had somebody put a fly, and as soon as I saw the fly, I said, never can't stop in ministry. And God quickened that thing to me. See here, here's an answer to your prayer. This is where I want you to be. And I heard the voice, but I didn't obey the voice at first. And flesh got in the way. Me go over there and sit on the other camera. I baptized him. But God kept dealing with me. God kept showing me, putting people in my path. Minister Paulette, he put her in my path. And Doobie here put him in my path. And several others. Deacon Landos was the last one. He said, Mackie, you gotta come here or I can't preach and teach. And he said, Deacon Landos said, what's it gonna hurt to just come and pay a visit? And when he said that, I said, we'll be there.
will be there. We will be there. And we've been here ever since. Praise the Lord. God showed me in prayer. God showed me in prayer. He said, I want you and your wife to go over there, roll your sleeves up, and be a part of this great work I'm doing. Do you hear me? Be a part of this great work I'm doing. Many have come and they have gone. Many have tried to destroy and tear down this ministry. But I want you to know it is ordained of God, and it is here to stay until Jesus takes it out of the way. That's not just a pretty rhyme, that's the truth. This ministry is here to stay until Jesus takes it out of the way. You know what I'm talking about? This ministry is here to stay until Jesus takes it out of the way. Now, there have been those that have come here and have left. Regardless of what reason they left for, they left the blessing. They left the blessing because God showed me in prayer when we first started coming here 7 years ago. God said, I'm doing a quick thing. He is coming. His coming is soon. And we're not here by mistake, Minister Simon. We're here by divine design. We're here by divine design. It is God's design. It is God's ministry. Look at how the enemy has attacked within and without. Within and without, the enemy has attacked this ministry. Amen? You got to see what's going on. And to be a part of this great ministry is such a blessing. Behold the building. This building, don't get so wrapped up in the building. Get wrapped up in what God is doing. Because this building is going to be destroyed one day. Everything that you can see as far as the eye can see is going to be destroyed. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth according to his word. All this is temporary. And what God wants is for you and I to see what time it is and to be faithful unto death. To be faithful unto death. All he requires from you and I is to be faithful just a little longer. Spiritually, we're in a race. And we're coming down the home stretch. You've got to see this thing. We are coming down the home stretch, and the finish line is in view. And Jesus is at the finish line. He's saying, come on, my bride. You can make it. Come on, my bride. I laid my life down for you. Come on, my bride. I shed my blood for you. Come on, my bride. I've given you the power. Just be faithful. That's what God is trying to tell you and I. You and I have got to see what time it is. It's time to endure. It's time to persevere. If there ever was a time to dig in and hold on and be faithful, that time is right now. Minister Simon preached last Sunday, and his message was twofold. He said, I didn't sign up for this. He was talking about the physical persecution and the tribulations you and I go through because we become Christians and followers of Christ. And none of us get saved to be persecuted. None of us get saved to be mocked and scorned. But that's only because of Christ in our lives. It's not because of you and I that the scorning and mocking and persecution comes. It is because of God in our lives. Like Jesus told Saul of Tarsus when he met him on the way to Damascus. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. When you persecute the child of God, you persecute God. So when scorning and mocking and persecution comes our way, because we have a made up mind to stand for Jesus, it's coming because of the light of God in our lives. Wear it as a badge of honor. When they make fun of you and I, because we make a stand for him in school, on your job, in the home, in the neighborhood, amongst your unsaved relatives, wear it as a badge of honor, because those demons recognize that you are a child of God. They know who you and I. They're not playing with this thing. This thing is not a game. Those spirits know who you and I are. Amen? They recognize the God that sent us. You and I can't play this thing. It's got to be for real. Amen. I thank God for my wife. I thank God because this month is a special month. This month, my wife and I are going to have our 7-year wedding anniversary. We were reading the Proverbs together. We have Bible studies at home. We pray together. And it's such a blessing. She's always asking me questions. And that's, which is good, because it stirs me up to study. She's always asking me questions, and I share with her what I have gleaned in this walk of God. And God has brought her a mighty long way. I mean, she has spiritual discernment. She recognizes what's of God and what's not of God. And she constantly asks me questions. And it's a good thing. We read the scriptures together. And she's won this all the way. Hallelujah. Brought her a mighty long way. Woo! Hallelujah. And has a hunger for more of God. That's a blessing. Solomon said, when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. And obtain a favor with the Lord. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And then it's my spiritual birthday this month. Which leads us up to our message. My spiritual birthday. Now, a couple of Wednesdays ago, I spoke about the most important relationship, remember? The most important relationship that you and I can have is that relationship with God. That is the most important. Because that relationship will carry us on into eternity. Amen? Amen. With that in mind, I want to invite your attention to the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Verse number 44, and I'd like for you to stand out of reverence of reading the Word of God. I'm not going to hold you long. Hallelujah. I just want to share with you a little bit. We're going to read one verse of scripture, and then we're going to jump over to verse 65. When you have it, say amen. Like the pastor said, it's on the screen. Verse 44, let us read. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse number 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him by my Father. Now let us turn to Matthew 11th chapter. Matthew 11th chapter, verse 28. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, chapter, verse 28. Do we have it? Let us read these several verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this afternoon, Lord God, realizing we can do nothing without you. You said in your word that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Lord God, anoint these lips of clay. Have thine own way. Use me as a vessel of honor to speak thy holy word. Help us, Lord God, to hide the word of God in our heart that we sin not against thee. Let some precious soul cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus has said over in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel that no man can come unto me except the Spirit of my Father draws him, man or woman. You can't come to God unless God is drawing and calling. Amen? And I'd like just to take for a little thought this afternoon. Do you hear the Lord calling and drawing you? Do you hear the Lord calling and drawing you? Now you and I, and everybody that comes into this world, we are made in his image and after his likeness. You and I cannot get away from that. There's a spiritual side to everybody that comes into this world. Amen? The way I look at it, every baby that comes out of their mother's womb, because we're made in God's image and after his likeness. You know how you buy something and you turn it over and it says made in Japan? Made in Germany? Everybody that comes out of their mother's womb, every baby that comes out of their mother's womb, God puts his stamp on it. Boom, made by God. 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 Every baby. You can't get away from it. We're made in his image and after his likeness. Now the atheist and the agnostic says, the atheist says there is no God. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool, 14:1 and 53:1, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. Bible says, God had it. He wanted it to be so clear, he put it in the Psalms twice so there would be no mistake. The agnostic thinks he's a little better than the atheist. The agnostic belief is, I'm not saying there is, but I'm not saying there isn't. You're still on your way to hell. You're still lost. Everyone that comes into this life, because there's a spiritual side of us, and you can say there's a little bit of God in every human being. Not that they have the Holy Ghost, but because we're made in his image and after his likeness. Amen? You can't get away from it. You and I will always have a desire to worship. You can't get away from it. You could be living in the remote parts of the world. You could be a heathen that doesn't even know about God, but you are going to worship something. Everybody has a desire to worship. That's why there's so many religions. That's why there's so many denominations. You can't get away from worship. In other words, you recognize that there is a supreme being, that there is something higher than you. Amen? You can't get away from that. And mankind, because he's born with a sinful, rebellious nature that we inherited from Adam, amen? An unregenerated nature. This is the main root of the problem. We are born in sin, shaken in iniquity, amen? The fact that you curse, swear, commit adultery, lie, cheat, steal, kill, that doesn't make you a sinner. We're sinners by birth. And we're born with a sinful, rebellious nature against God. We come in this world enemies of God. And just being a good person will not get you into heaven. The Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can be as good as you can possibly be. If goodness got you into heaven, if just being a good person got you into heaven, Jesus would have never had to come. He came to rescue. He came to save. He came to redeem. made a way out of no way for you and I. This is why communion is so important. This is why the Lord's Supper is so important. He said, do this in remembrance of me. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, do you remember what we say? All the different things we say? We are one with God. We are united with God. We have a relationship with God. So when we're born into this world, we come into this world enemies of God. And once we reach the age of accountability, we have to give an account to God for what we do. Now in that time, or before the time of accountability, because God is awesome. God will call you and I. He will draw you and I. God is a just God. He's an honest God. He's a righteous God. And I can look back in my life when I was 5 and 6 years of age when God was calling me and drawing me. I didn't recognize it then. Remember young Samuel? How God called him? And he went running to Eli. He thought it was Eli calling him, but God was calling him. I can remember when I was 5 and 6 years of age how sensitive I was to spiritual and religious things. And I want you to know, God calls and draws a lot of people. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And at a young age, 5 years of age, God was dealing with me and calling me. I was always sensitive to somebody talking about the Bible and God. My mother instilled a lot of godly principles in us. She told us that the Bible was the word of God and you ought to have a reverence for this book. She told us that this book is no ordinary book. And it was written from above. I didn't understand it, but I believed it. And God used it. Look how God has dealt with some of us in our lives when we were young. I remember Elder Camp getting up here speaking, and he told us about the Bible his mother gave us. His mother gave him. My mother had given me a hand Bible too, that you could put in the palm of your hands. And I'm mindful of what he was saying. He was always reading that Bible. That was God calling him. That was God drawing him. Hallelujah. Why else would he have a mind to want to read God's word? God was calling him. And I want you to understand, when I was on my way to Vietnam, because there's so many stories I can share with you. My mother had given me a pocket Bible. And I had it in the shirt pocket of my top pocket. And I was in the Marine Corps, and I was up in the plane. We left Okinawa, we were on our way to Vietnam. This is just one of the many stories. And something came to my mind, why don't you pull out that little Bible and start reading it? Now, prior to that, nobody was paying me any attention. I'm sitting on a plane with all these Marines, just totally being ignored. But as soon as I pulled out that little pocket Bible, and I'll never forget, I'll take it to my grave, I'll never forget what was said after that. I didn't look around to see who was talking. But I remember when I took out that little pocket Bible, all of a sudden somebody said, what's that Mac you got? Put that book away. What are you, a preacher now? It's too late for that. And when that was said, I was so intimidated, I put the little Bible back. But if I had pulled out a Hustler magazine or a Playboy, everybody would have jumped on me. Oh, yes. But it just goes to show you how God was dealing with me. It goes to show you how real this is. What happened? I pulled out a light. And when I pulled out that light, folks got blinded. When I pulled out that light, the demons got stirred up. There was another time. I was in the 7th grade in study hall, and I was supposed to be doing my homework, and all of a sudden I'm daydreaming, and I see myself with a black suit on and a white shirt with a black tie standing on these soapboxes preaching the word of God. God was calling. control. And there was other instances where people had talked to me about God. There was one time I was in a barber shop on South Pearl Street, and I had just got my hair cut, and I got out and I left. I was getting ready to leave the barber shop, and this black station wagon pulled around the corner. This gentleman got out, an older black gentleman. He had a black suit on. He let the back of the station wagon down, and he pulled out these speakers and a microphone. He started preaching the word of God. I walked across the street, walked down the street, and the further away I got, the clearer I could hear him. God is real. He's calling. He's drawing. He wants you and I to be saved. And in these last and evil days, he's calling people. He's calling us. And what does he call us for? He calls us that we can surrender our lives to him so we can be used by him. Turn to 1 Peter 2nd chapter. 1 Peter 2nd chapter. I just want to share this with you. Because God calls us. Every last one of you that are sitting here this afternoon, God is calling you. You're not here by mistake. You're here by divine design. You are here because God is drawing. He's calling. But what are we going to do with his call? 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. This is what he calls us to. Do you have it? But ye are a chosen what? A royal what? A holy what? A peculiar what? Peculiar people. We're different. You know what? Let me share this with you. You and I are not the oddballs. You and I who are in Christ. We're not the oddballs. The unsaved and unregenerated, they are the oddballs. How is that, Elonaki? We have got that vertical relationship right. We have got it right. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who are outside of Christ, because either you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. Amen? There's no in between. I haven't read from Genesis to Revelation. There's no in between. Either you're for him or you're against him. There's no in between. Either you're for Jesus or you're against Jesus. Either you're following Jesus or you're, well, I'm not a bad person, but are you following Jesus? Well, I'm not doing this, but have you surrendered your life to Jesus? But I'm trying to do, but have you been born again of the water and of the Spirit? There's no in between. And when you stand before him, there'll be no excuse. Because he's going to tell you, I drew you, I called you, but you rejected me. And you and I, the Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. You and I only come in this way once. Don't believe in no reincarnation. It's a lie from the pit. We only get one shot at this. Woo, hallelujah. And I'm so glad. Let me share it with you. Let me finish reading this. A peculiar people. That ye should, let's read this together. That ye should what? The praises of him who have what? Into. It's not just light, it's marvelous. The night I got saved, 1973, March on a Monday night. Minister Paul S. Father, preaching the word. He came from around the podium, and I was on the front row. He said to me, Brother Mackey, and he had some baptismal clothes in his lap. He said, Brother Mackey, I believe it's your time. And he tossed the baptismal clothes in my lap. At that particular time, You know how the Bible says a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day? In other words, time is nothing to God. When he did that in a moment's time, I'm talking about in a flash, all the times that God had dealt with me, it came to my mind and just went. I was standing at the crossroads of my life. There was a fork in the road. I can stay on the wide and broad way, or I can enter into the straight and narrow way. Jesus says in Matthew 7 chapter, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and only a few compared. That March 1973, on a Monday night, I stood at the crossroads of my life. Now, I had been there the night before. And I said, I'll be back tomorrow night to be baptized. Now, watch this. Listen to this. I knew, because this is an individual walk, it's an individual talk. I knew that if I had left that church that night, and did not give my soul to Jesus, if I died, I knew I would have went to hell. I knew it. That's how he was dealing with me. He was calling. God was showing me in a moment's time. I kept death back from you. When you had pneumonia and when you had double pneumonia, I kept death back from you. When you had those asthma attacks, I kept death back from you. When you went to Vietnam and came back, I kept death from you. When you almost got hit by the car, I kept death from you. He had brought me to a fork in the road in my life. And I want you to know, just like Pilgrim's Progress, when I didn't understand it, but when I surrendered, I was in the men's room changing to get baptized. And I'm saying to myself, how am I going to stop cursing? How am I going to stop chasing women? How am I going to stop doing the drugs? And then the thought came to me, you can't do it by yourself, but with the help of God. With the help of God. And after that came to my mind, I said, let me hurry up and get baptized. And I stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. When I went down in Jesus' name, a big old head of mine didn't want to go, but he had to push it up. I thought he was trying to drown me. But when I came up out of that water, because when I went down in that water, I didn't understand everything, but I had a repentant heart. I didn't understand everything, but I knew I was doing the right thing by surrendering my life to Christ. I knew I had made the right choice. And when I came up out of that water, I felt clean. Saul said, heavy load. Heavy load. I got rid of my heavy load. Went back out there, got dried off, put on my clothes, went back out there and received the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Didn't know what I was saying, but I was speaking in a funny language. Went to work the next day and was on the elevator by myself. And I said, I wonder if I can speak in a funny language again. And I started speaking in tongues and I jumped back. I said, this thing is real. God is real. And ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Let us stand. No man can come unto me. No woman can come unto me except the Spirit of my Father draws me. Ministers, will you come to the altar? God is calling us. God is drawing us. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to give our lives to Him. I just want to say is living for the Lord is the best thing that can happen to you. You won't find true satisfaction for your soul. Because a life outside of Christ, spiritually, you are hungry and thirsty. And you are looking for fulfillment. You won't find that true fulfillment until you give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The title of this message, Do You Hear the Lord Calling and Drawing You? Hallelujah. Ella Gibbs.